never let you down. I'ma shine on sight. Keep your mind on your grind and off of mine's alright. Hard, I'ma ball, don't know squares. I float a $250,000 cars everywhere I go. I know in the lead it may seem we might be, but no matter what they doing, they don't do it like me. Like a G, I hold it down for the town.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Recognize I'm back. Strike a match, catch a fly, and moment I decide.
Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene. We're back again. I'm joined in the booth today with Coach Ron, Will T, Wally A, and I'm Fish. Right now, we're going to get into that rundown. Give us that rundown over there, Will.
In this week's rundown, first, Roger Clemens was indicted and is going to trial sometime in the future. Lou Piniella retires from the Cubs to take care of his mother. Bobby Bowden claims he was forced out of FSU. Kevin Durant came up clutch versus Spain with a big block at the end. J.R. Smith is on the trading block.
And why are they trying to get rid of J.R. Smith? It makes no sense. They're going to get rid of Melo, so I don't even get that anyway.
They're trying to get rid of tattoos, I guess.
I guess.
Who's going to score?
Who else has tattoos?
The whole team.
Birdman.
Yeah, it is a Birdman.
Oklahoma City's center Christian fears FIFA will ban him for his role in the brawl. Finally, Maurice Claret wants a trial for the UFL. After we come back from this commercial break, speaking of Maurice Claret and convicts, we'll discuss the best convicts in sports.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
Well, you've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We're kind of hopping to the greatest criminals. If Will T. sounded a little off, because he was like practicing being a criminal over there with like his hot water jailhouse soup or whatever. So that's the reason he was sounding like
soup.
Greatest criminals in sports. I mean, these convicted felons out there, who you guys got? Me personally, I'm always going to root for Don King, because that's like my role model right there.
Honestly, that's the all-time, in terms of criminals, that's the all-time sports figures in terms of criminals.
You really don't get too much devil in that.
He's the ultimate hustler.
He has his horns well, that's who I'm going with.
He's the ultimate hustler. Think about it, man. He's the only guy that has fellow convicts work for him, because we all know all boxers are like convicts anyway.
I mean, prison's like a boxing
exactly.
Academy. So, who you got over there, Ron? I know you got some cousins who might have been in jail who did sports or something.
Well, I'm not going to talk about my family, but we're going to stay local and talk about Dexter Manley. This is a man who couldn't read. The man was a crackhead. the man went to jail. He pawned his Super Bowl ring.
Hey, man, he's trying, man.
For money.
Aren't you a Redskins fan?
I am a Redskins fan.
He's trying, though.
So I was like, I'm happy he turned his life around. And honestly, he's about to get a TV show talking about the Redskins.
Is he?
Yes, really? He is.
Have you seen the bobblehead, though?
No.
The bobblehead looks all right, though. It kind of looks like him.
Dexter Manley bobblehead?
Yeah.
So as he dips his head, he's snorting and come back up? How's that
First
work?
First of all, yeah. Dexter didn't snort. He didn't snort. Like, you got to know your drugs, Wally. You got to know your drugs.
My bad.
He I know with another one. Victor Page. We got to keep it local. I go with Victor Page.
Is he Mr. I?
Is he Mr. I? Mr. Criminal DC, boy. But I go with Victor Page, keeping it local, boy. I mean, there's so many people who probably could go local. But also who I'll go with, Nate Newton. Nate Newton had weight.
He was pushing weight, literally. Nate Newton weighed like, what, about 400 pounds when he got caught with all that weed?
Yeah.
And he had like 400 pounds of weed.
Speaking of pushing weight, don't forget Bam Morris, Marcus Brown on Facebook named Bam Morris, and also Tony Snow mentioned Tamarack Vanover, and they both worked together on selling weed and whatnot.
Hey, it is a business.
It's a weed game, man. The weed game is tough out here.
Man, Percy Harvin might need some of that handling his migraines that's going on up in Minnesota. But you got any ones you want to throw out there, Jailhouse Will?
My favorite, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, you can't go wrong killing the white woman.
Oh, man, what about Mike?
Let's get it straight. O.J. never killed anyone.
Yeah,
O.J. went to jail for conspiracy and kidnapping.
Did it.
Yeah, we all know
O.J. didn't kill anyone.
Kill her. O.J. just knows who killed her.
Al Collins did it.
He probably did. O.J. told him to go tackle her. He did.
Hey, there's another one. What about Mike Tyson on a rape charge? I mean, he's the only rapist that you know in movies and still make and on Oprah and still making money fighting.
It wasn't rape.
I agree with you, too.
She didn't scratch him, so it's not rape.
I don't even know what to even say with that. I want to have sex again with a woman, so I'm not even going to comment on that because that will put you like in serious
It's boat. Not rape
yeah,
unless they
for
scratch
record, I really don't think Mike Tyson
think
is
Kobe
guilty.
Has
it's called strong arm love.
Do you think Kobe has scratches?
No, he don't scratch. He likes to force himself anally, but anyway.
Happy Le Pew.
I think it helped his jumper. He looked like he had more rise up in the answer that happened. So. Big shout outs to Kobe, man. Keep it dunking in the back, man.
Kobe.
But you know, last guy I know, Brian, this is your idol, Charles Barkley. We forgot about your boy Charles Barkley with the DUIs. I mean, you can't even take him to a bar no more. He don't know how to act.
Yeah, he don't know how to act. Plus, he picks up white women.
And he bounces checks out in Vegas.
That's like an NBA thing, you know.
That's NBA thing. Antoine
Walker. Yeah, everyone does that in the NBA. If you don't bounce a check, I mean, you shouldn't even be in the NBA. Between paternity testing and bouncing checks at casinos, that's like the requirement to be in the NBA right now, but... Man, those are our greatest criminals in sports right now. We probably can come up with more, but we don't ruin that reputation. But when we get back from the commercial break, we're going to talk about a little bit of that Doc Rivers comments that he made, as far as also Rajon Rondo and the national team, and we're also going to get into that local sports.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene, and recently Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next It's the Big Thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you're familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene because you never know who's listening.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We sitting up here during a commercial break watching Will drink some miso soup that he got in a vending machine. Where'd you get that from anyway?
Miso bought it from John. But I heated it up in a plastic carryout jug. So... Yeah, half a half, Joe.
No, that's the iced tea. That's the little carryout iced tea.
Only
joint.
That's the DC thing with the iced tea, the half and halves and all that. But before we went to the commercial break, we was talking about comments that Doc Rivers had made about pretty much the championship that the Lakers haven't beat the real Celtics starting five. Don't you got that? You got that audio over there for us, Wallace?
Yeah, I have it right here, and we're about to cue it right now.
Well, the two messages is, number one, you got to congratulate them. They won. They still have not beaten our starting five. You know,
okay.
Our starting five against the Lakers starting five has a ring. And tell them, don't forget that. And we'll be back strong. And Perk will be there next year if there's a game seven.
I mean, those are pretty strong words for Doc Rivers. I mean, what you guys think about that?
It is what it is, actually. I mean, he's right in all honesty. That Lakers team that was very salty in terms of when Boston eliminated them didn't really beat that full healthy squad with Kendrick Perkins, who was a big important contributor to that team.
To me, I look at it this way. He's trying to motivate his players to get back to that step. You know, I mean, he has a veteran team adding Shaq, that's okay. I'm not too sure about that. But
it's the Diesel.
What do you think about them adding Jermaine O'Neal?
You had, I mean, both of them can't move. I mean,
what do you think about the second season of Basketball Wives, where apparently Chad Ochocinco is dating Evelyn?
Really? Really? Wow. So he didn't pick what's
yeah, he didn't pick anyone. He apparently
what's
he's
the name the it was the chick that I thought he was gonna end up with.
Ruby?
Yeah, why? Ruby.
Yeah, I guess not, but
so he chose the little stripping looking.
Man,
well,
I don't wanna get too far off topic. That's some juicy stuff. We gotta say that for later, but speaking of Doc Rivers and the Celtics, today Rajon Rondo pretty much stepped down. I don't know what you wanna call it.
Because he's about to get kicked off.
He was about to get cut.
Professional athlete wants to actually resign because he's about to get cut from the national team. I mean, what does this actually show about his game? Is that, you know what? Actuality is like, how does he even survive in the NBA without a jumper and can't shoot free throws or nothing like that? I mean,
His speed and his ability to penetrate and get to the bucket.
To quote Dennis Green, he is who I thought he was. And they didn't leave him off the hook. He's a bum. he is a bum. That's why he's not on the team. You know, Stephen Curry is still on that team. And Rondo is this all-star point guard, and he was about to get kicked off. He is a bum. He is who I thought he was.
Man, Wally, you just love Rondo, don't you? But what you got to say over there, Ron?
I think Rondo was going to make the team. He did this 2 years ago when they asked him for it. They gave him an invite to make the team. He resigned.
But according to Rondo, he thought himself that he was on the borderline getting cut. He thought that himself.
I agree with that, but I think Eric Gordon or Andre Iguodala was going to get cut before Rondo.
I can see Eric Gordon possibly, but not Iguodala.
Eric Gordon's been a more consistent player.
He's just not an overseas player. He's really not an overseas kind of player. It's not fit for that. He's Rondo. I'm sorry. You know, he's a bum.
He's whatever a Rajon is. Whatever's a Rajon is.
Right, he's a bum.
But let's get off, man. Let's not keep talking about Rajon because we can talk about his bad jumper all day. But
thank you.
Let's hop into that local sports right now. Steven Strasburg's his elbows. He's probably going to be up on the shelf for the rest of the season. Wally, what you think about Strasburg?
Man, I thought when they had that scare earlier, they should have shut him down for the whole season anyway. So I still have the same opinion. I mean, he shouldn't pitch.
Hopefully, Steven Strasburg, that elbow will get a little better. Put some icy hot or some dirt on it. It'll heal right up there. You got to put some tussin on it. Get right to the bone. But Albert Haynesworth, local news, Redskins. I know you got that audio for us with Albert Haynesworth with his little comments. So go ahead and give it that to us.
I don't know. Like, I got told I had headaches or whatever. So, and that's why I couldn't go out and practice. I mean, I think it was a little bit more than that. And I guess they didn't want to disclose that. So.
What was it a little bit?
Yeah, the ISM, but I guess they'll tell you headaches again.
So you didn't have any headache?
It was part of it, but it wasn't all of it. I mean, they left out a whole lot of stuff, so.
What are the symptoms of it?
You asked them.
Why would they do that, though?
I don't know. I guess to make yourself look good. I don't know. Make me look bad for not going to the, their off-season conditioning program. But, I mean, next year I'm not coming either. So, you know, I'll be with my trainer again, and I'll get back in, you know, the same shape I am and, you know, feel good about myself. So
you feel like that's being held against you still?
Oh, yeah, I think so. All right, but, guys, last question. It's all right. I don't care. I'm a football player, and I know I can still play the game. And you know, as long as I get this defense down, I'll be all right.
How do you feel about your time tonight?
Say it again?
How do you feel about your time in there tonight?
It was all right, you know. Third quarter, though, you know, I'm a ninth year pro. You know, I don't think I should have been out in the third quarter, but for having headaches again, that's what they wanted to do. So,
thanks, guys.
I mean, what can you even say about Aubrey? We talked about this during Will's, you know, I remember when Will kept bringing this up. We're talking about practice. We're not talking about OTAs and all this. This is pretty much showing that, hey, he should have came to OTAs, should have gotten in shape.
The man was in shape. He showed up 30 pounds lighter.
Round. That's his shape.
Showed up 30 pounds lighter than his previous plan weight.
What's the medical condition they have out there for him now?
I mean, I went to Eastern Shore, so I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm sorry.
It just has a lot of vowels and letters. Yeah. I mean,
rhabdomyolysis or something like that.
It's just a big word for lazy. Because it's like, so you mean to tell me because this dude don't drink no Gatorade or water, he gets a disease now? I mean, what is up with that dude?
I mean, the dude's in the sun. He's like 335 pounds.
They practice in the morning and the evening.
But to be real, though, I mean, I think the situation, like D'Angelo Hall said, I think the whole situation was handled was handled improper. I mean, wrong.
Now, as you know, D. Halls is Albert's best friend.
Oh, right? Yes, but he's still right, though. Right is right. He's, I mean, in terms of situation, I mean, Shanahan didn't have to go out to the media and say he was having migraines when he knew, in fact, what he really had. So
Shanahan's just trying to make a point. He's trying to be a taskmaster.
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, all you're doing is playing into the circus.
Let me ask you guys this. I mean, pretty much, he doesn't really need a relationship with Shanahan. The main person he needs to have a relationship with is Jim Haslam.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he doesn't have to really talk to Shanahan.
And he has to,
you know, encounter with Haslam more with defensive meetings and stuff like that.
Even Jim Haslam said, like, you know, it's none of his business. I mean, all he wants is Albert and, I mean, on the team practicing, ready to go with this first unit. That's what he wants. The team recognizes that they need Albert Haynesworth to do something this season. You know what I mean? So, I mean, in all honesty, we all know he's starting. It might not be week one. We know we're starting eventually.
Yeah, you don't put someone in the
sky. Let's just be real. We know we're starting eventually. We're not going to have Kiamato, whatever his name is, as our D tackle, our nose tackle. So it doesn't matter.
Well, you could have him at the nose tackle and maybe put Albert like they talked about on the end part. But I mean, Albert's going to get his burn and his clock. But I think right now Albert needs to realize that, okay, I mean, this is your job. Just, you ain't got to be buddies with Mike Shanahan, but you at least got to, you know, be cordial enough and cool with him. But other news, Redskin highlights over the weekend. I mean, what you guys think of that? I just moved. I ain't got no cable, so I ain't see the game. I don't want to talk too much about it. But what do you think about the highlights over the game, Ron?
I mean, not the excuse me, I'm sorry. The score, I'm not worried about the score. It's preseason. I'm more worried about what the first team did against the first team against the Ravens. And both teams played well. Actually, it seemed like more of a regular season game when they went off. London Fletcher, McIntosh, they had a great game.
Yeah, I heard it was a lot of hitting.
There was a lot of hitting. I mean, LaRon Landry was hitting. He was sliding around.
Terry Mason hated that Bama.
Terrell Suggs. Hey, Wimps, he needs some work. He needs some help against
him. I mean, he went against Terrell Suggs.
I mean, Terrell Suggs is an all-pro outside linebacker, so as long as he holds his own, that's all you expect from him.
When I looked at him, what I was happy about was the first team defense. I thought they played well. I think Santana looked good. Santana and Donovan looked like they had good rapport. And Chris Cooley, you know, it's been consistent. That report seemed very consistent. So, I mean, in terms of Donovan looked sharp against a pressure defense. So I was happy with, I mean, what I saw for the first unit.
But one thing, Donovan was, apparently he's in a walking boot right now. He's not going to really play this weekend, which is, I mean, to be honest with you, you don't really want to push Donovan. I mean, he's a veteran quarterback. He knows how to play, so you really don't want to push him. It also would be nice to at least see what Richard Bartell and John Beckham do, because if these guys, I mean, these are other quarterbacks you want to see what they
do.
The
only thing we all know in terms of the third preseason game is an audition. Mm-hmm. We would all like to see, you know, in terms of your first unit go more than, you know, the normal process within the preseason. So you want to get a good look at the first unit. That's the only thing. But Donovan's a vet, so I mean, he knows how this game works. So we don't
know.
He
knows the division, so it's not like he's coming in a new situation.
That's true.
This Redskins Ravens rivalry, I mean, is it a rivalry? It's always whenever they do play, it's almost like a buildup of talk anything. I mean, Will, you went to school in Baltimore. What do these Baltimore folks be thinking about this?
Actually, I did. I attended the game on Saturday, and to me it seems like the Ravens fans are far more passionate about this rivalry than anything. A lot of people were really noisy and really, they actually seemed like they had a hatred for the Redskins. But the crazy thing is, these two teams hardly ever play each other during the regular season in a meaningful game. It's always a preseason thing. So I don't see how you can develop a rivalry if you only play each other every preseason.
Let's just be real. As a Redskins fan, I only worry about, honestly, in terms of a rivalry, I grew up hating the Giants and I grew up hating the Cowboys. Other than that, it's no rivalry anywhere else.
Well, only way I can see the Redskins and the Ravens even build up more of a rivalry type is, why don't they do, like, put this game, I mean, they can keep having the game every year during preseason, but won't you make them scrimmage each other during a week or something?
Yeah.
Because I know how the Cowboys, whenever they go to California, they pretty much scrimmage the Raiders a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty much a every year preseason game. I mean, they build up a lot of animosity towards each other, so I don't see why the Redskins and Ravens can do it. I mean, we're talking a half hour, I mean, 45 minutes, an hour drive up the road. So,
but to me, it would only be a rivalry. If something happened in the Super Bowl or something,
it would never be a rivalry.
It transcends after that. You know what I mean?
Two different conferences, and I mean, they like Will said, they hardly ever play each other. And I mean, everyone knows, I mean, rivalry for the Redskins are Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants. There's no one else. I mean, that's the big rivalry. Every time you play them, it's a big game on the line.
Obviously, the Eagles can't be a big rivalry because they just trade Donovan to us. So obviously, they don't care about it, so it doesn't even matter.
Or was it like giving away leftovers? Are y'all the doggy bag or were they the doggy bag?
Hey, we'll see. When the season starts, we'll see.
Well, number five, we will see. I'm rooting for you, Donovan. Hold the camel soup down on first. But we about to hop into that commercial break. When we get back, we're going to hop into the rest of the NFL action going on right now as far as the preseason. And we're also going to talk about some Brett Favre and his debut against San Francisco.
It's your man, Ray Rogers. And over this past summer, my homeboys Wally, Will T, and Fitz tried losing some weight on Celebrity Fit Club. Here's how it went.
Welcome to Celebrity Fit Club Boot Camp. My name is Harvey Walden, and I'm going to be your drill instructor and fitness coach while you're here at Celebrity Fit Club. Now, over the next 8 weeks, I could be your best friend or your worst freaking nightmare. The choice is yours. I highly encourage you to respect me and respect the rules, or your life here can feel like a damn eternity.
Go ahead with that, Harvey. Bama's over there just trying to lose some weight.
And you thought Harvey was bad? Well, listen to when Will T told Dr. Ian he's been drinking.
Damn, I stay getting drunk. That's why I can't lose no weight. Blame it on the alcohol.
You're drinking on a weight loss show.
I mean, I need something to calm my nerves down. This show ain't no fun.
Every single week, it's always an excuse. Push through the excuses.
And Wally revealed a horrible secret when we had a therapist come in to work with the fellas.
I asked each of you to bring an item from home, something from your life that you want to leave behind. Who'd ever like to start?
All right, I'll go first. First off, let me be real with you. I brought my diet pills, so let's put that out there right now. Because me, I love to eat. I love eating buffalo wings, onion rings, jollof rice, and goat. Can you blame me?
How did it feel for you to be taking the easy way out?
Feel bad? Not at all. I love eating my African food and my buffalo wings and onion rings. That crap makes me happy.
And at the end, the results weren't good when Fish got on the scale.
Please step on the scale. Your weight tonight is 216 pounds.
Is that good enough for you, Harvey? I'm like 5'8", 216.
Hell no!
The Urban Sports Scene, your place for sports, not for weight loss.
Trap one time. I went from rolling with the marks on the block, controlling my position at the top of every chart. Now
you thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Welcome back to Urban Sports and BOW! Oh man, Patrick Willis is lit Brett Favre up. Did you see that debut with Brett Favre? He got introduced to the brothers in San Francisco real quick, boy, I tell you. I mean, what you think about his debut? He got off a plane on what, Monday, Tuesday? He was playing in the game by the weekend. Patrick Willis told him what they do in San Francisco.
I wish he hit the ground some more, actually.
I mean, four plays, they really didn't know.
Tell us how you really felt about Brett Favre.
You know you got a Brett Favre jersey.
I wish that ankle got rolled up on. That's all I can say.
I wish he was still on them pills. I mean, hey, but...
Ain't nothing wrong with pills, though. Let's put that out there.
You took a pill today?
Yes, I did. Nothing wrong with pills, though.
But Brett Favre's debut, I mean... did it show his age or was just pretty much just rust?
It just showed his rust. It showed that he needed to be in training camp.
Yeah,
that's what it shows. Like everybody else participating, like everyone else.
Yeah, take them Wranglers off, man. You need to be in training camp. But on also other Viking news, Cindy Rice today. I mean, the hip is pretty much giving him. He's got like a grandma hip right now. He can't do nothing. And it's like, why didn't he get surgery during the offseason?
That's the biggest thing for me. If you knew you had a hip injury in the offseason, why would you wait until, 2 weeks
halfway
before the season starts
to get it
corrected?
They told him that he could rehab the hip. Mm-hmm. And it'll be fine by the time the season starts. But
look at who his role model is.
I mean, look at his role model is.
He gets surgery like at the end point so he can miss training camp. Does it surprise you? Look who sets the tone in training camp.
You have a point, Wally.
I mean, some Wrangler looking dude, man. Get out of here.
You ain't got a pair of Wranglers?
Nah, I don't do Wranglers.
Yeah, I don't do Wranglers.
Never seen an African in Wranglers.
Exactly.
Before.
Rock sandals. Get it right, baby.
with the gray toes. The leather sandals. That's how they go. But in other NFL news, Nick Mangold just signed a big contract for a center. I know Darrell Revis is like heated somewhere. It's like, how's this center getting money that I'm not getting? I mean, Ron, what you think about Revis over there?
I think Revis should have came to camp. Mangold did. He handled it the right way. He came to camp. He worked. He kept his mouth shut. Let him in. Let the agent and the GM handle the business.
Is he like the best center in the NFL?
Yeah, pretty much. He's not number one. I mean, he's in the debate. Oh, okay. He's in the debate of being a top center. But to be honest with you, I mean, this has been an ongoing situation. I mean, remember Ferguson got his big contract before his rookie contract was even up. Now Mango's got his. I mean, they've been giving money out left and right to everyone else except Revis. So, I mean, as Revis, do you take that personally, or is it just a part of the business? I mean, how would you even want to even view that? Because, I mean, also another player that, you know, that really hasn't, we haven't talked about a lot as far as contract is David Harris.
Right, right.
He wants a contract too.
David Harris, that's a good point.
Yeah, actually, they said David Harris is next. They plan on giving David Harris his, settling up with his contract next.
So we're going to talk, I mean, this is like three cornerstones and not even Revis. So.
Well, in terms of Revis, I heard that they just resumed talks. So they're still working. They were still working on that process. But, I mean, it still has to be a little give and take. And Revis, for what I hear, is not really willing to compromise.
Did you hear his last, what he wanted?
No,
reportedly,
no,
10 years, $176 million.
We're talking about cornerback on a quarterback.
Does he play like point guard on the Jets or something? Because that's like NBA money.
Well, the Jets were offering 10 years, $124 million.
I know. I mean, but that's quarterback money. It's ridiculous.
Especially if you got a system that fits a corner well.
Peyton Manning?
I don't know what it is.
Dude, man.
Look
this
at
dude.
What Rex did in Baltimore.
Exactly.
Once their corners retired, They threw anybody in there.
Really?
Still produced.
Man, I hope Revis does get the contract so we can give Antonio Cromartie some condoms because he got like 6-7 kids and he don't even know their names and ages. He got like 3 3-year-olds in 1 year. Like, well, I don't know what's going on.
Cromartie was getting it in.
I guess he don't like tell them the hands and toes method or something. But it's just like, wow, he actually's playing D-back. So, but other news, preseason, I mean, is anything stand out this year in preseason? I mean, me personally, I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan. I mean, I just wanted to get the preseason over and get to the regular season.
The one thing that has stood out to me is the Green Bay Packers. They look awesome during these first two preseason games. I think a lot of people are going to be, especially you as a Cowboy fan, you're going to have to be watch y'all back this year because I think they're coming for you.
The Detroit Lions went undefeated in the preseason. Yeah, they lost 16 games. I really don't have no care. Preseason means nothing.
The most surprising thing to me in terms of the preseason is Jake Delhomme looking like Joe Montana and Dan Marino. I think he's having like this best, I don't even want to say preseason ever, the best juncture of his career ever. Period in preseason, I feel like this. I mean, we're talking about a quarterback who's known to give the ball to the opposition. You know what I mean? So it's amazing to me.
Yeah, Jake Delhomme's looking like that old dude from like Necessary Roughness, the old quarterback that came out of nowhere. he's just slinging it, bro.
I don't know what to even say, boy. It's crazy, man.
I mean, what else? I mean, a lot of stuff. Well, last night with the Arizona and in the Titans game, I mean, Tennessee looked real good. Vince Young. I mean, I've never been a Vince Young fan, but I guess he might have turned the corner.
It's me and Ron.
I'm still
right
not
going
to root for him.
It's two things I took away from last night's game. A, Vince Young actually looks like a legitimate NFL quarterback, and B, Matt Leinart is not an NFL quarterback. It seems to me that his team has no confidence in him. He's not a leader. He doesn't exhibit any leader qualities.
Matt Leinart's a spoiled brat. It is what it is. I mean, he came into the NFL pretty much given everything. And USC, you know, he was like this Hollywood star. In terms, you would think he was on The Inquisitor or whatever. He's just that thorough of a figure down there. And all he had was buku talent, like we were talking about Fish earlier. And when now he's in the league, you know what I'm saying, with his weak arm, it's not going to survive in the NFL. His arm is too weak.
Especially at this stage of his career. I mean, we're not talking about a guy that's in his first or second year. I mean, Leinart's been in the league for like 4 years now.
Yeah.
And hasn't really shown anything of like excitement. I mean, it's like that's all you got. I mean, you're better in Madden than you are in real life.
If you couldn't throw in a grocery bag shopper or a grocery bag worker, then to me, Forget it. You ain't doing nothing.
And then you have Wally hates quarterbacks, but he loves Vince Young. I mean,
Vince Young is a beast, man. He's a beast.
I think Wally's a racist because only quarterbacks you before are black.
That's not
matter
right.
Matter of fact, give me a block spot. Give me my block spot so we can debate about Randall Cunningham.
It's www.urbansportsc.blogspot.com. That's right. I am talking about Randall. Peter King, put him in the Hall of Fame. Stop playing.
I don't think that's going to happen.
We starting the movement over here, the Randall movement.
If Vernon Cunningham goes into Hall of Fame, are they going to show like that episode of Martin when they ain't know which quarterback he was? They thought he was Warren Moon. But it is what it is, Randall. We got love for you, man. That highlight of you punting the ball 90 yards is cool. But when we get back from the commercial break, we're going to hop into our area code segment. We're going to hop into the NFC East and the AFC East.
Hi, I'm LL Cool J. Thank you for coming together to celebrate Jumpstart's work with children. You may know me as an actor, a recording artist, and an author, but I'm also a dad who believes in the power of reading to change young lives and open up doors of opportunity. As I was growing up, my mother and grandmother read to me as often as they could. Now that I'm a parent, I know one of the most important gifts I can give my children is the gift of empowerment through reading. You're here because, like me, you want to make sure that every child has the opportunity to learn and succeed. This past year, I chose to help make early education a national priority by joining Jumpstart's Read for the Record campaign. On October 2nd, we're going to Read for the Record again as children and adults across the country enjoy the children's classic Corduroy together. There are three ways that you can take part. You can pledge to read with a child in your life on October 2nd. You can celebrate Jumpstart's Read for the Record at an event in your community, or you can buy a book. Just $10 will provide a copy of Corduroy to a family in a low-income community and will help support Jumpstart's work. It's really that simple. So please help us make some history by taking part in the Read for the Record campaign. I'm doing this for my kids and for my community, and I ask you to do the same. Go to readfortherecord.org to register and to learn more.
Just 770 and 404. I'm worldwide. Act like y'all know it's the abominable.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. Wally, why don't you start us off with the skills in New England? What's going on in Ashburn, D.C. right now?
First off, you know, we all know, I mean, like you said, Kelly Malcolm, Bob Kelly, still hurt. It's not looking good for him in terms of playing Friday, but he does feel a lot better. Fans think out there that he's probably going to get cut. In all honesty, he has a better chance than what people think. Now, in terms of me as a spectator watching on the defensive side of the field, I mean, it looks like Andre Carter and Lorenzo Alexander aren't looking comfortable at the linebacker spot, the outside linebacker spots. So what I'm saying is, like, if you watch Chris Wilson and see how he's progressing right now, it looks like he has a chance to get more playing time and maybe even overtake Andre Carter and Lorenzo Alexander at that starting position. Kareem Moore, as we know, during that preseason game against the Ravens, we were in terms of the Skins fan, I was scared that he was out for the whole season. In all actuality, he's going to be out only 4 to 6 weeks.
And they signed Tyrone Carter the other day.
Yeah, he still sucks.
He has a good name. I don't know.
About that, he's better than Chris. I think Chris Ward is going to get cut.
Chris Horner is not getting cut. They will have a competition. It's going to be a competition between Chris Horton and Reed Dowdy for the job. We can bet. I mean, we can bet.
You know he likes to gamble, but sticking in the NFC.
The Patriots? You want to go to the Patriots?
Let's stick with the NFC first. Okay, let's get them out of the way. Let's go to the big rival that the Redskins fans hate, Cowboys. You know, even though D.C. stands for Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, the typical things that happen down in Big D. One thing is injuries. Injuries are really taking a toll on the offensive line. Colombo's out. Cozier's banged up a little bit. But hopefully this is an opportunity for the younger players to step in and get more playing time also. Also, the defensive backfield, the safety position in particular, is taking an injury spot. But at the same time, it's a lot of rookies that they weren't really expecting to showcase a lot that are really showcasing a lot. Barry Church and Danny McCray from LSU, and Mike Hamlin is getting a lot of burn also. So, and with Gerald Sensabaugh's injury, it's really opened the door for a lot of the secondary players to get some burn. But, Will, what's going on in Philly with the Chiefs?
I had a quick question, though, before that. What about Dez Bryant? Is he going to even play in the preseason?
Well, the thing about they're going to pretty much hold him out till the regular season, because the type of ankle injury he has, you really don't want to push that too often because, I mean, during OTAs and at the beginning of preseason, he was having a very strong camp. So you really don't want to stress that ankle too much. But what's going on with Philly?
Two words, youth movement. First of all, Brandon Graham, the number one draft pick, the 13th overall pick by the Eagles, a defensive end, is looking exceptional in training camp. Nate Allen, who they drafted with the 37th pick, I believe that's the pick they acquired in the Donovan McNabb trade. He's flying around in the defensive backfield, looking great. Kevin Kolb is accurate. I mean, you know, no knock on Donovan, but Kolb is a far more accurate quarterback than him. Kolb just doesn't have the arm like Donovan. Jeremy Maclin, Deshaun Jackson are looking great, catching just about everything fast. There is some concern with injuries on the offensive line because Nick Cole is out and the center. Jamal Jackson. Jamal Jackson's out. He was actually taken off of the PUP list, the physically unable to participate list recently.
Quick question. How's Maclin doing with the shoulder injuries? Is he cool?
He's looking better. He's getting stronger. He looks like he's going to be ready for the start of the regular season.
I heard the Eagles were trying to sign Fred Barnett, like bring him out of retirement.
Stop playing.
We were talking about Ronald Cunningham earlier. Hey, Ron, what's going on with the Giants, man? What's up? What's going on with them up there?
It's the return of Eli this weekend versus the Ravens. Tom Coughlin seems kind of happy about that. He wants Eli getting the rhythm.
Where did he go?
Well, he was
ask Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs and Jim Leonard, the safety from the Jets, kind of like pull him out for that game. Supposedly, you know, the scars healed. He's getting ready for the Ravens, which I don't think is a smart move. You're playing against the Ravens defense for three quarters. They're going to come right after him, just like the Jets did.
I mean, I think they're going to at least let him roll at least a quarter. At least get him in
it's
the rhythm.
It's a third preseason game. They'll probably play
also,
that one.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead,
also
sorry.
Happening in Giants camp is there's some secondary concerns now. Allen Ross. He's battling turf toe right now. You know how that can go. He could be out 2 weeks. He could be out 6 weeks.
What's going on with Kenny Phillips? It was his knee because that was a serious injury with them last year when he went out. Their secondary pretty much went downhill.
He's back practicing. They expect him to be back for the regular season.
Oh, wow.
If he's not, they signed Deion Grant to go play along into a role. But Deion Grant's more of a run stopper. Antoine Rose more of the free safety type.
Center field.
But the biggest thing is if that defense line is not correct, then the secondary, it doesn't matter who's back there.
How's the rookie look? The rookie Deion.
Pierre.
Yeah.
Pierre's going to be a specialist.
Okay.
Him, he was pretty much green coming out of college. I mean, he got drafted on his potential. But, I mean, they pretty much just need to throw him on the field and get some reps.
Yeah.
But, The other side of the division, we're going to the AFC East also today. Wally, what you got for us up in New England? Tom Brady.
Tom Brady looks good. I mean, obviously, like a lot of individuals who watch sports or whatnot, when you come off that ACL injury, usually is that you need that 1 year to take to just to rest up, and that second year is that year that you know. That second year is when you get back to form. That leg is a lot stronger and whatnot, you know, because I had an ACL injury, so I know about it.
Man, what's going on with Wes Walker, though? I got him in my fantasy. He's one of my keepers.
Oh, Wes look good, too. Even though, you know, I will see in terms of Wes Walker, he'll be at his best next season. That's how I look at it. But he's a slot wide receiver. He's going against threes.
Yeah, he's
going
to get his catches.
He's going to get his catches. Go ahead. You want to say something?
I was saying, I know Tom Brady doesn't watch the Hard Knocks with the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
He already made that comment.
He hates Rex. But, like, Rex, stand-up guy. He hates him, too. I hate Tom Brady, too, so I don't even care. But I feel you, Rex. But anyway, in terms of some of the players in camp, Aaron Hernandez from Florida, he looks good. They're very happy with him. I think he has the opportunity to be the starting tight end eventually. I think they have Algie Crumpler starting at the moment on the depth chart. He's number one.
Well, that's their blocking tight end, like what they had with Daniel Graham and Ben Watson.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the pass catching and you got the blocking catching.
Exactly.
Algie be the blocking, Hernandez would be the pass catching.
And he's had a good preseason. They're very happy. Yeah. Happy with his progression. On the defensive side, cornerback Lee Bodden, you know, he's playing good. He barely gets any action in the preseason because, you know, the dude's pretty nice out there.
Yeah, big up to Lee. We're going to hold you down. We know he's from Peachtree County, man.
Lee's coming off a very productive season last year. He had 5 interceptions, 1 touchdown last year. So I'm looking up for big things for Lee. And also Randy Moss is in a contract year, so you know what that means.
Yeah, you're going to pick him in fantasy football. I'm going to take it up to Buffalo right now. They suck. I don't even know what he's saying. Chan Gailey had to like lecture some like teenagers from talking about his quarterback at camp. It's like that is like seriously. I mean, dude, are they that terrible? Is Trent Edwards that bad? But right now in Buffalo, they have like little to no talent. I mean, they're just pretty much playing for the number one pick to get, I guess, that quarterback out of Washington, Jay Locker. But right now in Buffalo, I mean, as far as the, I mean, talent and what they're doing up there is just like, I mean, C.J. Spiller, they drafted a running back. Marshawn Lynch, he's a little banged up. Fred Jackson's a little banged up. But at the same time, it's like they're trying to figure out what to even do with that backfield. As far as their offensive line, they, for some reason, invested so much money, time, and energy in the guards, but never even had the time to get a tackle within the last few years. And right now, they're really hurting at that tackle spot. On the defensive side, though, I mean, that's probably going to be their bread and butter, because you also, I mean, the one good thing they do have about their defense, they have a lot of young, good players on the defensive side. Aaron Maben, Jarius Byrd, who had a breakout season last season, the safety. So, I mean, that's going to really be their bread and butter if they're going to win some games. But, Will, what's going on with the Jets? You know what's my man, on? Rex Ryan. That's my man. So, what's going on with
Rex? Ryan, he's my favorite. I mean, basically, it's out there for everyone to see on Hard Knocks. Everyone, you know, you can see what's going on with the Jets. Nick Mangold just signed his contract. Darrell Revis is still holding out. David Harris is about to get paid eventually. Mark Sanchez, just from watching Hard Knocks, looks like he has no confidence in himself or his ability. Every time the guy makes a mistake, he's down on himself. So I think that's going to be big this year, and I think that's actually going to hinder his progression in the second year as a quarterback. LT, he's looking like he may, and I admit you were right, Fish, he's looking like he may split carries with Sean Green this year.
I said that, too. Like,
we talked about
that.
I said that, too.
Give me some credit. Yeah. Doss, we dark-skinned brothers. You want to hold me out?
Whatever. We know who's been right in the past. Look back at episodes.
I'm Doss. We dark-skinned brothers. You want to hold me out? Really?
Yeah, you're supposed to be Ebo.
Exactly. Behold. Come on.
What else is going on in the Jets camp? Is Braylon ever going to cut his beard?
No, Braylon is not going to cut his beard. And their defense, even though they're missing Revis, the defense still looks good, looks exceptionally good. Now, of course, you don't have Revis to take away one half of the field, but you, Kyle Wilson looks good, and Antonio Cromartie, he got to play for them seven kids to feed him, so he's going to really come through this year.
Them kids can't feed themselves. They're going to be on special teams. But, Ron, what's going on in MIAO with the big boss?
Well, Miami, they think they're a sleeper team to win the AFC East. Chris Henne, they think it's going to be his break.
Chris Henne, Chad. Get it right.
Chad Henne, Michigan. I'm sorry, Michigan, I don't pay attention to Michigan. Another talk is Pat White. He's barely played the first two preseason games. He had that injury at the end of last year. They thought he was going to retire. It might like he get cut. I think that, they're going to try to force the guy to retire. It seems like he doesn't have the will to play the game anymore. Also, the O-line struggles, the interior of the line. They just signed Randy Thomas today.
Oh, for real? Good,
really?
Big ups.
Yeah,
big ups, Randy Thomas.
They signed your twin?
They signed my twin.
Go ahead.
You know, if he's healthy, it's a good pickup. But that's a major concern for him, is that center in those two guard spots. The tackles are taken care of. Yeah. Also, on defense, they're real excited about Mike Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing that attack-style defense that he had in Denver last year. You see what he did in 1 year in Denver with Doomerville. They expect the same thing down in Miami.
Because they also has Dansby from Arizona, yeah, which is a big upgrade for him at linebacker.
Plus Dansby. Plus they have the two perfect corners for assistance, two man-to-man corners.
So they
expect a lot of,
because they got a big corner down there, that rookie last year, because he's like...
Vontae Davis?
No, not Vontae Davis. The other guy from Utah.
Sean Smith.
Hopefully he don't stay like his brother Vernon. Struggled and want to get good 1 year, but I think Sean Smith in the end, he's going to be the better cornerback, because his size, you really don't get that too often in a cornerback, and he has the skill to match it. But man, I think, be honest with you, I mean, I don't want to cut you off here. I think Miami will be the sleeper pick down in the AFC East.
So they're trying to kick Pat White out.
Well, there's a lot of talk. He's barely played. He's one snap in the first preseason game, two snaps against the Jaguars last week.
I mean, where would you put him at? Because we talked about this off air.
And it annoys me that Pat White can't get a gig or stick with the team, and Tim Tebow has a job, who really, in all honesty, is a real project quarterback. And Pat White, who did everything when it came to draft time, he performed well in the Senior Bowl practice, performed well in the Senior Bowl, had a decent combine. And he still was like a second, third round pick.
Second round pick.
That's not enough for him.
Tim Tebow, and not really getting a fair opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. While Tim Tebow has a job and looks like he's going to be a starting quarterback.
He showed up to camp late because he was dealing with personal issues.
All right.
And there's a lot of reports that those personal issues were he was considering retirement.
Oh, okay.
So they might not think, you know how Bill Parcells is.
Yeah, I know.
It's 110% or you're not on the team.
Same thing to Jason Taylor.
Yeah, same thing with Jason Taylor. So there's a lot of concerns about that. Like, another thing, he's a third-string quarterback. They got tied Thigpen.
If he's even that. I mean, because Pennington's still there, and they still have, what, Thigpen?
Thigpen.
I mean, he pretty much was drafted to be in that Wildcat formation.
And the thing about that, Thigpen can run that Wildcat.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
that.
He's
that type of quarterback.
I think Pat White could be an NFL quarterback. Maybe it's just
I think they're going to go away from the Wildcat because it's like, I think more people are getting onto it at the same time with Henny now. They're going to open up.
They got a real quarterback.
Henny's legit.
Brandon Marshall also, they're going to open the field.
I'm a Michigan fan. I know Chad is. I know Chad's legit. Him and Braylon, oh, yeah, I know about that.
I don't know about Braylon.
Braylon's going to be okay. He's going to be all right.
Not as long as he got that beard. Braylon, go ahead and shape it up.
I missed out. Logan Mankins is holding out, is willing to hold out for the whole season. So the Patriots might be weak online.
But when we get back from that good old commercial break we're about to hop into, we're going to hop into the fantasy football, the bread and butter of what we're going to be talking about this season. We got champions here. We got people who just barely get in the playoffs here. But we won't get it going when we get back from that commercial break.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything, packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To build libraries and fill them with stories? Prepare a meal with food you helped grow? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself. Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
How you doing with the move here? Welcome to the future. I'm the captain of the cool kids. The revolution's never been televised. Great booty, better thighs. I ain't wanna tell her bye. First I tell her hi, then I give her one and let her fly. Never tell a lie, and that you couldn't find a better guy. King shoot fly to anyone you can sing with. Gangsta the same. Cool.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. Hey Wally, let these folks know how they can reach us.
Y'all can email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Also, you can reach us at our website. That's http://walio.podbeam.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O. To check our blogs, like which I mentioned earlier, is www.urbansportscene.blogspot.com. You can reach us on Twitter. That's www.twitter.com/urbansportscene. And also, you can check us out on Facebook, and you can check us out on iTunes.
Well, before we went to commercial break, we were talking about the fantasy football, what we love, enjoy doing. We got champions at this table. But matter of fact, let's call Ray. Let's see what's up with Ray, though.
Hello.
What's up, Ray?
What's up, fellas?
What's your fantasy picks going to be looking like, Ray?
Y'all need fantasy advice. You know I'm your man, even though I'm the only one without rings. But anyway, my two recommendations for fantasy selections are both from the MCEs, and they're well represented amongst our group. First, from the Skins, my man Chris Cooley. Donovan McNabb, he made Brent Salick and L.J. Smith viable fantasy options in the past. So just imagine what he can do with Cooley. I mean, Cooley is better than both of them dudes combined. Sorry, Will. And my second choice is exactly that. Tashard Choice from the Boys. He might be a late-round pick, but Marion Barber is not an every-down back, and neither him or Felix Jones have proven to be durable. Like, let's say if Barber gets hurt, then Choice, he will have to split carries with Felix Jones. And over the past two seasons, he's averaged over 5 yards a carry and has proven to be a threat also as a pass catcher. Last year, I don't know if y'all remember, but on Monday night against Carolina, he had 82 yards rushing, 36 yards receiving, and a touchdown and a two-point conversion, all in the second half, with Barber out and Felix Jones leaving that game, I think, in the first half. So you can't go wrong with my advice, though. He's also got the longest TD run to date in Dallas. That was a 66-yard run against Oakland last year. Anyway, I appreciate the phone call, and I hope everyone's checked out my blog on Brian McNamee. UrbanSportsScene.blogspot.com. we gonna do fantasy snitches. Who y'all taking? I'm taking Kobe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Anyway, I appreciate the phone call, fellas. Peace.
All right, Ray.
We'll holler at you, man.
Well, we got Ray's pick. I mean,
why would we listen to a guy that's never won a championship before?
Because he's in our group, so we at least
got
to talk to him.
We got four champions over here, man. It's the truth.
I'm not taking no advice from no one that's never won a championship. Sorry.
Matter of fact, let's break down. We talked about the NFC East earlier. NFC East. Let's break down some of the fantasy guys in the NFC East. I mean, you guys want to start a quarterback? I mean, who would you guys pick as far as a quarterback? Good
I mean, I, it, if I'm picking, and I hate to do this. Because I'm an Eagles fan, but the top quarterback in fantasy football in the NFC East is Tony Romo. I'm sorry to admit it.
Yeah, points wise, he's going to get you your points.
I'm going to actually go with Cole. Actually, I think Cole is going to put up decent fantasy numbers.
Go ahead and pick him.
I'm telling you. I'm just trying to be real. I mean, I've seen the guy. I mean, in college, he ran that run and shoot offense. I think he's going to be that kind of quarterback that can put up big numbers. Now, will it result in wins? We ain't talking about wins. We're talking about fantasy. Yeah. And I think he can put up fantasy numbers.
Well, the one thing about the NFC East is, though, you pretty much have four solid guys that you probably will be comfortable starting every week. I mean, Donovan will be a good pickup for a quarterback. Eli, like Will, you're the type of guy that likes late round quarterbacks. Eli would be the perfect quarterback if you want to pick late as far as 6th, 7th round. You know, Romo, he's pretty much going to be probably the 3rd, 4th, or 5th quarterback taken off the board. So, I mean, as far me personally, I mean, I would probably shoot for Romo first. If I'm not going Romo, I would probably sit back and wait a little bit. Even though I would mentally want to do this, but physically I'm not. We'll go after McNabb, but I'm not going to pick him because I don't pick Redskins. But I will give Eli a shot because I think Eli's going to break out a little bit more this year.
I agree. Eli Manning would be my second. Romo would be my first choice. But like Fitz said, you can't get Romo. You might as well just sit back, draft your wide receivers, get your skill players out the way, and you have your options of McNabb, Cole, or Eli. I don't think you can't go Romo.
Usually Romo will be there in the late rounds anyway. He usually is there in the late rounds.
Last year in our draft, he was around the late rounds. The reason why Romo lasts long in our drafts is because most of our people in our drafts are Redskin fans, so they don't pick him.
But when you
play in leagues where money's on the line,
if it was a money league, I still wouldn't pick Romo.
You wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't. The only Cowboy that I would even think about taking would be Jason Witten. Romo would not be a quarterback that I would choose.
All right, Wally, there you go.
speaking of Witten and tight ends, you said Witten. You think Witten is the number one tight end in the NFC East, right?
I mean, honestly, I think Chris Cooley is, but Ray spoke about that, so I won't even go there. I think with this connection, it's 1A, 1B to me. If I want to be totally real with you, I think it's 1A, 1B.
You think Cooley is 1B?
Speaking as a true Redskin fan,
I'll take Selleck before I take Cooley.
Selleck had 1 year, and now you're talking about Selleck as a consistent tight end.
Well, the thing that will probably take away from Chris Cooley this year as far as his fantasy value is Fred Davis.
Well, now, if we're going off preseason and the chemistry point, from what I'm seeing, is Donovan is king on Chris
Cooley.
Yeah,
I'm not saying like, everyone. Like, Donovan has always had a good relationship
with a tight end.
I mean, even Ray mentioned it.
Yeah, like Ray. Exactly.
But at the same time, I think the production wise from Chris Cooley, I think it's not going to be the usual. I think it may be a little bit of a drop because Fred Davis.
I mean, Fred Davis. Obviously, when you think of it, it's just like the Cowboys situation with Marcellus Bennett.
But he's not going to ever get over Witten.
That's my point. Yeah. That's my point. It's like eventually. Football minds are over just talent. You know what I mean? Like Fred Davis is talented. Hands down, he's talented. But Chris Cooley is not athletic, but he has a smart football IQ. He knows how to find plays in the zone. Donovan will relate to that more than just trusting athleticism.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I think you're going to have to find a way to get both of them on the field.
I think with
Fred Davis show last year, he's going to take a little bit of that production.
I think the
difference between Witten and, say, Martellus Bennett is just the wide receiver core that the Cowboys run. The Cowboys will have a little bit more better options at wide receivers than the Redskins have.
You'll
have pretty much Santana. And hopefully Joey Galloway and the rest of the guys,
and Joey Galloway
the rest of the boys
cut.
Can, you know, stay healthy.
Joey Galloway
can put on his orthopedic cleats.
Joey Galloway getting cut.
Wade and Galloway.
Kelly Malcolm can get
Malcolm
out
Kelly
there.
Getting out there. But let's get back to the
Devin
other
Thomas
people.
Can stay away from Fantasia.
Let's get the other wide receivers, though.
We're talking too much about tight ends, man. Let's get to the running backs. Right now, who you guys would consider the number one fantasy option at running back?
Oh, man. Clinton Portis.
Another true
Are you
fan.
Serious?
Another
Clinton Portis. I would have to agree.
He's motivated. Go ahead, Ron.
I would say Clinton Portis because right now he's not sharing carries.
He isn't.
You so let me ask you this: if you have, let's say, what round would you take Clinton Portis in?
I would say mid rounds, between 4 and 6.
Between? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'll take him in the second round.
I'll take him in the second round.
I've won championships with Clinton Portis. He's got me a championship. Let me put it out there.
Right now in preseason, Larry Johnson, Torian, Willie Parker have not been shown the ability to pass block. In Mike Shanahan's offense, you have to be able to pass block. The run back has to be able to pass block. So he's going to get the ball touches on first, second, and third down.
And my
sleeper pick is Ahmad
Bradshaw. I think I got him taking Jacobs' spot.
I think he's already taken. I mean, he scored 2 touchdowns in the first 2 preseason games. One was a catch for 40 yards. The other one was a goal line run. So I think he's the better runner. He's running like how Jacobs used to run. That's what he
before
running.
He got that contract.
Yeah, before he got that contract.
Well, me personally, I got 2 sleeper picks that, depending on what type of league, how your fantasy's set up, you would go after this guy. One's LeSean McCoy. He may not get you on the rushing part, but he'll get you a lot on the passing part. And if you play in a league whereas you get points for catches and stuff like that, LeSean McCoy would be the perfect option for that second running back or that slash when you go running back, wide receiver. My other sleeper pick, be honest with you, it's Marion Barber. I think he lost weight. He's quicker in this year. He's got rid of all those little injuries he had last year. And Felix Jones is going to be the home run. Marion Barber is going to be the goal line.
No, actually, I mean, I like Marion Barber. I think he is good, but I think that Felix Jones eventually will take his gig.
I think Marion Barber is going to stay at that goal line.
You don't think the Cowboys are gearing the bench Marion Barber on the slide? I think they're gearing the bench.
Because Marion Barber brings a lot more energy.
That's true.
To the games. I think what they're going to try to do is keep Felix with the home run at the beginning of the games, and when it comes fourth quarter time and they have a lead, Marion Barber time, which he excelled at a couple seasons ago, which is his closer position.
Do they expect to utilize Choice?
Yeah. Choice is going to see, I think
see,
this year
carries.
Choice is going to see a lot more carries.
So a lot of carries.
I wouldn't put anything on Choice because he doesn't see enough carries for a fantasy value, but.
But in terms of McCoy, I like McCoy. I actually think McCoy is a good runner, too. I think he can do it all. I think he's a better runner than receiving out the backfield.
Well,
to be
I think because of the system that Andy Reid likes to pass a lot
That's
more.
True.
So I expect McCoy to pretty much do what Westbrook did. But wide receivers, who you guys as far as wide receivers?
The best wide receiver in
Deshaun
the NFC East.
Jackson.
Go ahead. You can go ahead. Go ahead.
Deshaun Jackson, hands down. The guy can score anywhere on the field, whether it be a punt return, whether it be a screen pass, whether it be a 5-yard out and catch it and take it all the way. I
and
think
then he
Deshaun
does a cartwheel in the end zone and doesn't score?
Yeah.
The best wide receiver in the NFC East, Santana Moss.
Woo!
Santana Moss is going to have that Santana Moss year that he had with Joe Gibbs his first year. I can already see it. A lot of things. He has an extra giddy up on his step, not your brain.
I mean, you ain't lying, boy.
I'm being real.
The question was, who is the top wide receiver?
You're going to tape this. We're going to play this back on the show. I'm saying it right now. Santana Moss will have the best season in the NFC East in terms of wideouts.
All right, we will see. Me personally, if I'm going wide receiver, I probably would go
Miles Austin
or Steve Smith.
Man,
it depends on what I look at
Steve
at quarterback.
Smith is a good one.
I'll probably go Miles Austin or Steve Smith. Kim Kardashian.
You know a
guy that I think is actually is going to be a sleeper. He's on the Giants. Hakeem Nicks. I think Hakeem Nicks is going to have step up and have a better year this year and be
My
a
only
viable
thing about,
option.
I would draft him, but I wouldn't. I'm not going to rush to draft him. The reason why is, the Giants also have Ramsey Barton and a couple other guys that I think they're going to really spread the ball out a little bit more.
Mario Manningham.
And Mario Manningham, don't forget. That's only my thing about Hakeem Nicks. I would
Michigan.
Probably wait, get him a little bit
later.
Yeah,
like a set, like an eighth, ninth.
Yeah,
ninth
if he's about six and nine, I would
the
go after him.
Wide receiver
But
in the
I would
Giants
probably have him being like
Mario
that fourth
Manningham
wide receiver.
From Michigan.
Get
Mario
out of
Manningham.
You make moves with
like
your heart.
That,
you make picks
with
your heart.
That's why I won 2 championships to your 1. So stop talking about my heart.
You know what? Our last pick for the fantasy top defense in the NFC East, who would you go?
Eagles, hands down, Eagles. They get the takeaways, they get the sacks. Dang, that's a good one.
Yeah, but the defense struggled last year at the end of the year.
Shoot. And they gave up they gave up a couple of big plays, but all of the biggest holes that needed to be covered, been covered with Nate Allen at free safety. And then you also have Brandon Graham. That guy's gonna have at least 8 sacks this year. First of all, let's make this clear.
Rookies, defensive ends, outside linebackers do not put up 8 sacks in their rookie year.
Rappo.
Tape this and play it back. I guarantee you, Brandon Graham will have 8 sacks this year. I can guarantee it. He will have 8 sacks this year.
If he doesn't, what's going to happen?
We can make a bet.
All right, we can make a
bet.
We're
talking about fantasy football, and we turn.
I think as far as defenses, you can't go wrong with no team in the NFC East.
I'd pick the Eagles defense because they're known to score points on defense in terms of fantasy football.
But they're also known to give up points.
That's true, but I mean, if we're looking at fantasy impact in terms of points scored, I think the Eagles show, like the Cowboys have a shutdown defense. Let's just be real and put it out there. The Cowboys have a shutdown defense.
Their points
defense
are going to come from sacks.
Yeah, from
and
sacks.
Shutouts.
But
the
Eagles get touchdowns, and that's valued in fantasy football. A defense that can score touchdowns in any given day is valued. The Green Bay Packers gave up a lot of yards, even with their 3-4 scheme last year, and they just got a lot of points. They scored a lot of points, period. And their D wasn't that. They were like an opportunistic defense.
I would say the Giants, if you look for points, they have the defense line for sacks. Mm-hmm. Tuck, OC's back. Number 97. and you got the rookie, Pierre.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? They all stay healthy. You're going to get your sacks. Hopefully that causes fumbles and bad throws by quarterbacks, interceptions. If Ross is healthy, if Phillips is healthy.
That's a big if.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big if.
Well, it's a lot of every defense in the division has an if somewhere. You have an if as far as the Cowboys secondary, are they going to be able to generate more turnovers? You're going to have an if with the Eagles defense as far as will they be able to shut down as far as points-wise stopping teams. You got an if as far as with the Redskins, are they going to be able to generate more turnovers? They've been a good defense in the past few years, but they haven't really been a defense that generates a lot of turnovers and a lot of opportunities for their offense. And with the Giants, their ifs has pretty much been health. So, but at the same time, I think you can't go wrong with no team as far as defensive-wise. If you had to pick a defense, I mean, you can't really go wrong, and you can rotate that defense according to the week who you play.
You're right.
So, but we're done with the NFC East. We're about to hop into the AFC East right now. New England, I mean, as far as quarterback, I don't want to say New England, but it starts and ends at quarterback with New England.
Yeah, in that division, yeah.
It's pretty much Tom Brady then.
But I'm not going to even talk about
it. We don't need to name Tom Brady. I would take Chad Henne as far as a late round pick.
Let's talk about second tier quarterbacks.
Matter of fact, I'll probably take Jim Kelly before everybody else in the division.
Chad Henne is a good pick. You mentioned him. Chad Henne would be a good pick. I think it's
a
second
late round pick.
Yeah, I mean, Chad Henne's, in terms of being a quarterback, like prior years, he sat, got to watch, got his opportunity last year, learned from that. Now this year, he's the starter. He's got better weapons. Brandon Marshall, they still run the Wildcat. They got a running game. So things will be open up for him. So he has weapons to utilize. So I'm seeing a decent year for Chad Henne fantasy-wise.
As far as if you're in a keeper-type league, Chad Henne would be a perfect pick round.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, if you're in a league where you got to pick up new guys every year, then you can think about Chad Henne as far as a backup.
Really, if you're running value running backs and whatnot, picking Chad Henne in late rounds is a good
great
pick.
Pickup.
It's a good pick.
As far as running back, I mean, who's the number one running back at AFC East? I mean, who would be that guy?
You have to go with Sean Green, even though he's going to split some carries with
Ronnie Brown. Yeah.
Ronnie Brown.
He's too injury prone.
But
for
I'm
me.
Going off. I mean, off. I mean, but
as far as when
Green
he's in the game,
unknown
production
anyway,
wise,
though. Green is the unknown, though. You know what I mean?
Man, we
know Green. I mean, Green is. We saw him in the playoffs. He looked good, but he's still the unknown. You know what I mean? So we haven't seen him carry the boatload. You know what I'm saying? So
he's not going to carry the boatload.
That makes him less of a fantasy option.
Ron Brown. I mean, look at it. Ronnie Brown. He still is going to split the carry with Ricky Williams.
Oh, yeah, but, that Wildcat has shown in terms of its resume that it still puts up numbers.
Their team is built for running.
Yeah.
They're going to go run first, then pass. I mean, they have Brandon Marshall, he's not going to be getting 100 catches like he did in Denver, but they're going to run the ball. They're built to run. They're going to try to run the ball as much. Even with Ricky Williams, Ronnie Brown's the lead back. Yeah, he's going to get his carries first.
What round would you take Ronnie Brown in?
If I have a second or third round pick, I would take Ronnie Brown.
Third round, probably third round.
Second or third. I mean, it depends on where I'm picking.
I'm scared.
Another thing about Miami is Brandon Marshall is a great run blocker.
That's a good one, too. That's a good point.
So, knowing they're not going to be in that box as much as they used to because they didn't have any wide receivers.
And
because with Brandon Marshall, you can put the little quarterback out there on him all you want, one-on-one, and you can throw a quick pass to him. He's just going to run him over.
I might wait it out and get a sleeper. I get C.J. Spiller. I've loved what I see him in preseason.
If I was to go sleeper for Buffalo, I'd probably go Fred Jackson over C.J. Spiller.
I mean, I think right now, only reason why I say C.J. Spiller now, because all the running backs are hurt now, and the way he's playing in preseason is garnering momentum in terms of saying, like, okay, we can start this young guy. He's the future anyway. Let's start him now and go from there.
I got C.J. Spiller being a glorified third down back.
Mm-mm.
I don't see him being an every down
Reggie
back.
Bush.
I don't see him
he's
being
no
every
Reggie
down
Bush.
Back. I don't see him being a Reggie Bush, but
okay.
I got him seeing being, you know,
I mean,
I'm just
going off.
I got him being Larry Sinners.
Right, no, that's Reggie Bush.
That's
a core.
Reggie Bush
isn't
even close to Larry Sinners.
That's what he's going. He's Ronnie Harmon, Larry Sinners, all rolled him in one. That's who he is.
Man, Reggie Bush is like, what's his name? Eric Metcalf.
Exactly.
But where are you going to go with Lawrence Maroney?
Hey, Lawrence Maroney might have a good year.
I can't say what I want to say. I can't
Lawrence
say what
Maroney,
I want to say.
I actually
on,
think Lawrence
on,
Maroney
on
might have a good year, though.
I don't think so.
I
think
Lawrence Maroney might have a better year than Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah. No, he's not.
Fredless good.
Lawrence Maroney.
They're going to get the ball
there. My sleeper is Lawrence Maroney. I said
I think in AFC
championship
playoffs,
too.
Especially with Buffalo run backs and New England run backs, it's basically going to be a wait and see during the year. Who's going to get the most of the carries? It might be the same thing with the Jets. Okay, Sean Green, LT. Now, they want to make LT a third-round back.
Mm-hmm.
So, right now, I think it's a wait-and-see with their running back. Ryan Brown's the only
legit.
He's only legit guy. As far as wide receiver, it's a lot of talent as far as wide receiver. We got Randy Moss, Wes Welker. Brandon Marshall has a lot more than Ted Ginn Jr. Why does he even get the junior part? I know his dad was, like, a good coach in high school, but why do we have to refer to him as Ted Ginn Jr.?
Junior.
But, I mean, right now in the AFCs, do you go Brandon Marshall with that top wide receiver pick?
I go Randy Moss.
He's motivated. Contract year. We all play good in the contract years, man.
You know what I do?
Randy
I let
Moss.
You fools go ahead and pick him. And
I will
pick
get Randy Moss.
Wes Welker later
Randy
on.
Randy Moss gets me championships, baby. Randy Moss is a championship player.
But if you pick
listen
Welker,
to me, folks.
Make sure you get Edelman.
Yeah, because, you know, he's about to break down.
Is he? We'll see. I mean, that's
watch.
A guy you just have to let him
go.
Welker
came back from AC. He tore up his knee. He's back less than 7 months.
Yeah,
he doesn't run that far. I had to tell
he
people.
He hasn't cut yet.
All Wes Welker has to do is catch the ball for those little 7-8 yard passes.
We're not in the catching league, though. We're not.
You know what? You say that now, but how many? When you get 10 of them in one game and that's 80 yards, how many points is that?
We got catch a league?
Nah, we don't get catches in
our
league.
No, you get 10 catches and them 7-8 yards?
Yeah, 10
those
yards.
Those yards adds up.
Man, he sucks. I'm not
going to like. I love hearing that. You know why? Every year I draft Wes Welker, he can average those 70 to 80 yards a game. That's all I need. I don't need him to have those 100
yards. Patriots fans,
I need consistency.
If you listen to us, Randy Moss is your man. ESPN Boston, Randy Moss is your man. That's all I got to say. Get Randy Moss. Everybody has him in the late rounds. Get Randy Moss.
I bet you Doc Rose will be talking stuff about Randy Moss. Randy didn't need a new shotgun, boy. But, I mean, outside of it, I mean, is any sleeper guy you may go with? I mean, Braylon, would you consider Braylon a sleeper?
Of course
I'll
get Braylon.
What? How about Santonio Holmes? We haven't really brought him
man,
up.
Man, after he stopped smoking weed, you know what I mean?
I would take Santonio Holmes after maybe the 10th round because he's going to sit out.
I mean,
he's going to sit out
four games. Yeah, I mean. Yeah. He's a good. It's a good option.
Yeah,
but do you really trust? But do you really trust Mark Sanchez though? For real? That's.
I think
problem.
He can get. I think he can get on the ball. I think that.
You know what
means
no.
No, I think Brian Schottenheimer will find ways
and
to get the ball in the hands of
Santonio. If Marty Senior couldn't get someone the ball, what makes you think Junior's going to be able to get someone the ball?
Think about this though. Think about this though. Where is he playing? I mean, where does Santana Holmes play at?
In New York.
All right. When he just comes to December, he's not getting
the
ball.
If you want to pick a wide from the Jets, go with Kotcher. He's a possessing guy. He's going to get the ball more often than Holmes and Edwards.
I'm talking about fantasy touchdowns, man. Where about no Kotcher?
He could catch.
Just go with the bearded wonder, man. Braylon Edwards, baby.
Tight end.
Well, you're going to have a great team.
Man. Right now, I know the obvious pick in tight end as far as in AFC East will probably be Dustin Keller. I mean, he's probably number one. Who would even come after that?
My number one is Anthony Fasano from Miami. He had two touchdowns against the Jaguars. You run a Bill Parcells offense.
You can have that guy from Jersey Shore.
Yeah, Jersey Shore. I'll take him. He's going to get targets.
My thing is, I mean, usually the type of tight end I usually look for is a tight end who's actually involved in the passing game.
Yeah.
Because I don't need a guy. I need a guy involved in the passing game. I don't want a guy who gets that, who puts up that one fantasy game for me every 5-6 weeks. I need a guy who actually is involved in the passing game.
My tight end to pick is, like I mentioned earlier, is Aaron Hernandez. He's going to have a great year.
You can have him.
I will have him. Tom
whoa,
Brady.
Whoa,
Tom,
you gonna have him?
Oh,
whoa,
not
whoa,
like
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa.
Not like that. Let's keep it PG-13 now, folks. Aaron Hernandez is definitely the guy to take. Tom Brady throws. We all know a healthy Tom Brady is probably gonna throw a lot of touchdowns. Yeah, exactly. And we know Bill Belichick. He's a dirty dude. So it might be 35 to nothing with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and he's still trying to score a touchdown. So Aaron Hernandez, folks, take him. Listen to a two-time champion over here.
Well, I know you talked about Dustin Keller earlier. I mean,
yeah, Dustin Keller, like that's my guy. If I had to pick a tight end out of the AFC East, I think he's a guy that built up a rapport with Mark Sanchez, and I think this coming year he's that continuity they built up over last year and this year into the offseason is going to really produce for him.
Well, now that we got tight end out of the way, we got defense. Number one defense in the AFC East.
The Jets.
Do you have to even ask that question?
The Jets.
It's the Jets.
It's the Jets. But I'll go different. The Patriots.
Too many
got
questions
you, Lee.
On the
yeah, too many questions.
Lee, I got you, man. Patriots, man.
I know. See,
Patriots.
Great team, Wally.
Yeah, I'm killing
it.
I'm killing
it. Depends on
what
they play
for
yeah, depending on the matchup. On the matchup, yeah.
Mayo, Bodden combination.
I mean, if you have room on your roster, you can
damn, man. We're forgetting Will's favorite position. We forgetting the kickers, though, man. The kickers.
Like, who cares about the kickers? You used the last pick to pick a kicker. I'm sorry.
Oh, just let the
I'm not getting a pick.
You want to see it?
I just get a pick. I get it. Whoever's left with the last round, that's who's my kicker.
Man,
I'm
going with Chip Low Miller. Wherever you at, Chip, go ahead and get the leg ready because I'm going to pick you this year in fantasy
football.
I'm
going with Anthony Bonio. That's his name?
Anthony Bonio? Who's
that's
name?
Bonio.
Was
that
name? Mafia?
Is that Bonio the dude?
You Chris Bonio?
That's what he was. My bad.
Yeah. You don't want to go with Sweetsum?
Oh, my God. No
I know
Redskins
fans love him.
Sean Sweetsum.
And y'all kept him for like seasons.
and then y'all got him.
Rented his ass for a week. As Coach John Thompson.
Y'all had the playoffs, though,
as
right?
Coach John Thompson said, I had to rent his ass. He had to pay the mortgage for a little short period of time. But that wraps up our latest episode of Urban Sports Scene. Wally, before we go, let these folks know how to reach us.
You all can reach us again at http://wallyo.podbeam.com. I already spelled this. I ain't saying it again. Also, you can email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can reach us on iTunes. Just search Urban Sports Scene. Same for Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. To reach any of our blogs, you know, we write fantastic blogs. Reach us at www.urbansportsscene.blogspot.com.
And you want to page us as usual. It's 202-352-URBAN.
And
even
Twitter.
Though Urban's more than four letters. Just slide it in if you're on a payphone.
And reach us at Twitter. And you can add us for any comments. Just,
and
you know,
if you got
the
a,
Urban
still
Sports
got a two-way, scene. You can two-way us with that, too. But on behalf of the Urban Sports Scene, this is a wrap-up for us tonight. We're going to holler at you guys next week. Ray Herman, get back. You need somebody to talk about when we get back. So you can keep it going. But on behalf of the Urban Sports Scene, we'll holler at you guys later.